Everyone benefits when we work together as one, as we saw in those three humorous clips. Everyone benefits when we work together as one. Today, week one of this new series, we're going to focus on the idea of partners. And it's based around a verse in Philippians chapter 1. We're looking at the first 11 verses of the chapter, but in verses 4 and 5, Paul writes this. He says, "I always pray with joy." Why does it give him joy in his prayer? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Three ideas I want to pick up from this passage today. Three things I believe that God is saying to us this morning. The first, we are partners together in the gospel. We are partners together in the gospel. My dad always had a love for repairing electronic things. He'd developed that love as a kid and just taken it on as this passion, this interest, this hobby. But for work, to put food on the table and pay the bills, he had to work in another line of work. He was a manager in a photography company in Hobart. But he had this dream, this vision, that one day he might be able to run his own business, repairing TVs and radios and tape recorders and cassette recorders and things like that. He was so interested in it and trying to work out how he could make some progress in it that he began to take jobs repairing things for friends or friends of friends or friends of friends of friends. You know, the sort of thing, word got around that you could drop some stuff off at our place and Dad would have a look at it for you and fix it. And he did a pretty good job. He was pretty good at his job, at his hobby, and he was pretty cheap as well. So slowly business began to build up. He was working full-time as a manager and then coming home and most nights heading downstairs to the workshop and tinkering away, fixing someone's TV, trying to repair a radio with a buzz that he just couldn't get rid of, and trying all the different combinations. And he'd work in that hobby grew so that he was spending time on Saturdays down there and time on Sundays, and occasionally would get up early in the morning because he'd woken up in the middle of the night thinking, oh, maybe if I fix this, I'll be able to get rid of that flicker in the picture screen on the TV. Anyway, eventually this workload created some tensions in the Dainton family home, with Dad working all day, all night, and most weekends, and my mother put her foot down with an ultimatum. Which is it? I never see you. I never have any time with you. Make a choice. The challenge for Dad, though, was that, you know, he was just this hobby thing. He probably had, you know, maybe 15 or 20 hours a week of work as a hobby. And that's different from taking a big step and turning that into a business that is financially successful enough to put food on the table and pay all the bills. Dad wrestled with it for a while and then came up with a solution, a way to move forward. You see, he had a friend who he'd been talking to about this, because his friend already had his own TV radio repair business. But his friend, Don, a lovely guy, was about 20 years older than Dad. He had more work than he could do, and He wanted to slow down and begin to ease into retirement. They came up with an idea, a partnership. Don had more than one person's full-time work and wanted to cut back. My dad had about half a week of work and wanted to step up. And so they entered into a partnership together. Probably for about 3 or 4 years, I think, and then Dad took over the business when Don retired. If you look up the idea of partnership on the net, a definition, we're told that a partnership is an arrangement where people agree to work together to advance their mutual benefit. Partnerships help us to use our resources better, to achieve more, and to accelerate success. And the aim is that everyone benefits. No wonder then that Paul would pray with joy because the Philippian church, the Philippian Christians, were involved together in a partnership in the gospel, and in fact had been involved in that partnership from the very first day that they heard the gospel. From the very first day when the very first Christian, a woman called Lydia, made her commitment to Christ. From that very first day until now when he was writing 12 years later. What did that partnership look like? Well, going back to Lydia, there on that very first day, we're told that she believed the message and that she then shared the message with her extended family and the employees in her business. They all came to faith in Christ and they were all baptized. And when she was baptized, straight afterwards, she invited us, that's Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, invited us to her home. She said, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." Hospitality was the first way that they expressed this partnership. A second way that they expressed it was in generosity. Right from the very start, they supported Paul's ministry financially. It wasn't long after Lydia and then some others became Christians that Paul and his team had to leave Philippi and go down the road to Thessalonica. And even though these guys had only been Christians maybe for a few weeks, Paul says this, he says, "Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid, financial help, support, more than once when I was in need." Not only did they help out that way, but they also helped out with people, with manpower and our people power, with ministry. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, Paul mentions four people who were involved in different ways, working at his side in the cause of the gospel. He says this, he says, he's writing to one of them, he says, "I ask you, my true companion." He doesn't mention a name. The most likely person, though, is Luke, who wrote the gospel. That's the most likely person. "I ask you, Luke, my true companion, help these women, Euodia and Syntyche, help them, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement." Four of the Philippians. And then Paul also mentions another guy, Epaphroditus, who's been involved in taking practical care of Paul. Paul's in Rome, in prison, and the Philippians heard about it, and they sent Epaphroditus to take care of his needs while he was in prison. And Epaphroditus, as it says here, Paul said, he was ill and almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Now, by the way, I just had a little aside. I had an amazing thought when I was reading this story about Epaphroditus. I noted that Paul says he was ill and almost died. I think he had a man cold. I think this could be the first recorded incident of a man cold in human history. He was ill and almost died. Anyway, just a thought. What was I saying? Hospitality, generosity, ministry and care were just some of the ways that they were involved in partnership together in the gospel. And the other thing which is interesting is that it's from the first day until now. And then in Philippians 4, Paul talks about that their support of him financially, it says it started in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel. We heard about Lydia. Lydia said this, she'd just given her life to Christ and been baptized. And then she turns to them and says, if you consider me a believer in the Lord. Isn't that enough? If you consider me a believer in the Lord, I've just acknowledged faith in Christ, I've just been baptized. Am I a believer in the Lord? Then I need to get involved in this partnership together with in the gospel. It reminded me of a line from the hymn Amazing Grace, which goes like this. It says, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. There's something about God's amazing grace that from the very first moment of our experience of it, that is meant to draw us naturally into this partnership together for the gospel. Now, let me take a moment and say a big thank you to so many of the people in our church who do live out a sense of partnership together with us in the gospel, maybe in hospitality, those of you who would open your homes or host one of our life groups, maybe in generosity, financially supporting our church or our church planting projects in Indonesia, maybe in ministry by serving in one of our ministry teams, maybe in caring. We have some amazing caring people in the life of our church who provide care for others practically or maybe spiritually in prayer. Thank you to all who are partners together with us in the gospel in that way or in any other way. Thank you for your partnership. The second thing that I want to draw our attention to is that Paul is really clear, not just that we are partners together in the gospel, but that we are all in this together. We are all in it together. In the first few verses of Philippians chapter 1, Paul uses a phrase, all of you, five times in effect. Again and again and again and again and again. To try and illustrate and get the attention of the Philippians that they are all in it together. He says, to all God's holy people. In my prayers for all of you, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since all of you share in God's grace with me. I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul's making a point. He's absolutely keen that everyone who hears his message to them, understands that his message includes them. There's a few tensions in the life of the church back then. There's a bit of a temptation when there's a few tensions to take a step back, to keep people at arm's length, to maybe not be quite so involved. But Paul says, you are all in this together. Don't exclude anyone. Don't exclude yourself. Don't drop out. Don't step back. Don't be a spectator. The gospel is too important. Your partnership in the gospel is too important. You need a partnership and you need everyone involved to help you use your resources better to achieve more and accelerate success. You all have a part to play. All of you can make a difference. And of course, it doesn't take much, does it, to transfer that to us here today. In exactly the same way, God is speaking to us this morning, reminding us that we are all in this together. All of us, every single one of us. Don't exclude anyone, don't exclude yourself. Don't drop out, don't step back, don't be a spectator. The gospel is too important. We need to be in partnership together to help us use our resources better, achieve more, and accelerate success. And all of us have a part to play. All of us can make a difference. The third thing I think that God is saying to us today is to remind us that God has only just begun. God has only just begun. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says this, I am confident that God, who began a good work among you, will carry it on to completion. As I mentioned earlier, Philippians, the letter, was written 12 years after the church was started. It started with Lydia and her family and employees becoming Christian. Then a few days later, a slave girl became a Christian. That happened in a way that created a riot, and Paul and Silas were thrown into jail. They were up late that night praying and singing and keeping everyone else awake as well, probably. When there was an earthquake and the jail doors swung open, the jailer figured that all the prisoners were going to get out, but they didn't. When he talked with Paul and Silas, they led him to faith in Christ, him and his extended family and other employees at the jail as well. So a lot of people had come to Christ, but because of the riot, Paul had to leave town. He and Silas and Timothy left. Luke probably stayed behind and continued effectively as the pastor of that new church plant in Philippi. The Philippians sent financial help to Paul down the road to Thessalonica. A few years later, they make another substantial financial gift when Paul's taking up an offering for Jerusalem. It's an inspirational gift, what we read about in 2 Corinthians. They continue to support Paul over the years with Euodia and Syntyche and Clement and Epaphroditus. That's their story. But as Paul looks back upon that story, he says, well, God's only just begun. He's only just begun your story. He encourages them that God will keep working. He will carry on his work. all the way through to completion. I wonder how many more people came to Christ at Philippi. I wonder how many more lives were changed. I wonder how many more leaders went out and spread the gospel. I wonder how much more money was raised to support church planting projects as the gospel continued to spread throughout the Roman Empire. It seems to me that God's saying the same thing to us today. God has only just begun. He's only just begun here at 1:1. If Paul was writing to us, maybe he would write something like this: I am confident that God, who began a good work at 1:1 church 160 years ago, will carry this work on to completion. Maybe he would say, I'm confident of this, that the God who began a good work at 1:1 church 18 years ago when we moved here to this facility will carry on that work in terms of empowering us to use facilities for the purpose of the gospel. We've got our plans up over there, our dream to be able to do some major renovations, part of which the centrepiece of which is to have absolutely first-class quality facilities for our ministry with children and our ministry with youth. Absolutely a state-of-the-art children's and youth ministry areas. God, who started a work with our kids and with our youth, is still carrying that work on. I was reminded of that during the week when I was trying to organise. I wanted to organise something, a really cool Sunday for the first Sunday of the school holidays for our kids and our kids' leaders. And you know how sometimes we get one of the really great Christian children's entertainers here, like Dan Waller. Who can remember Dan? Been here, does a great job. Dan's coming in September, so I couldn't get Dan to come, and I was a bit lost. So I sent Dan a quick email saying, "Oh, who else is out there?" And he said, "Oh, there's not really many others." And the only other name he mentioned was, of course, the legend of the Christian children's entertainers, Colin Buchanan. Talk about a long shot. Anyway, so I thought, I had a browse on Colin. He said, you know, I have a browse on his website, and I had a browse on the website, and you could look at Colin's bookings, and there was no sign of him being in Victoria at all for the rest of this year. And I figured, you know, there's no chance we could pull off anything like that. But they had a little email, contact us email at the bottom. And I thought, well, look, I'll just send off a quick email. I probably won't even pay any attention to it. But I'll just send it off. And maybe, who knows, maybe he'll be in Victoria in 12 months' time or 18 months' time. And we might just maybe be able to pull something off. So I sent in a quick email. And you had to put your phone number as well, and I did that and sent it off. And my phone rang, I reckon, within 2 minutes. And it was Melissa, and she said, "Hi, this is Melissa. I'm Colin Buchanan's PA." And she said, "Just got your email. Really quite interesting, because I'm just here in front of my computer finalising a Victorian trip from the 25th to the 29th of June. Colin's standing right behind me. We're just about to sign off on it. Just wondering, would the 30th of June be of any interest to you?" Feels to me like the God who has only just begun is carrying on his work. Carrying on his work with our kids. I'm looking forward to it. As I said, I'm going to get my boys here. I don't know about that. We'll have a bit of fun anyway. God's at work doing some great things in the life of our church, isn't he? Recently, our Indonesian partnership a decision made about 10 years ago, before I was the senior pastor here, to enter into partnership with Indonesia. It just happens that I'd been on the very first trip to Indonesia to begin to set up the partnership. So I was looking for a church that wanted to be in partnership. And we've gone from those days back then to 10, supporting 10 church planting projects, and now 20 church planting projects. And GMP, who we work with, our global missions partners, would say that our church is the leading church of Christ in Australia in terms of partnership in Indonesia, and not just in terms of the time that we've been involved in, but the models that we're creating. And about 3 weeks back, sat in a meeting in Melbourne with probably about five or six other larger churches of Christ who were exploring partnership in Indonesia and wanting to take advantage of our model and the models that we've set up in Indonesia. A really, really exciting time. God has only just begun. But friends, that's not just about us as a church. The number one thing I want you to take away today is to hear God saying to you that he has only just begun in your life. God has only just begun. I don't know when you became a Christian, whether it was a month ago, a year ago, a decade ago, maybe it feels like a lifetime ago. God began a good work, and he is still carrying it on to completion. God has only just begun in your life. He is still at work. And for some of us, that's a word of encouragement, because we're feeling a bit discouraged. We're feeling like, what is God doing? Where is he at work? And this verse reminds us that the God who began doesn't stop or abandon or put it aside and forget about it for a few years. He carries it on to completion. And for some others of us, it's a word of inspiration and a hope as we look forward, realizing that God's got more to do in us and through us. God has only just begun reaching the people you love. Who are those people? Who are the people you want to see come to faith in Christ? A spouse, a child, a parent, a friend, a neighbour, a colleague? God has only just begun to reach the people you love. And what about your life? About who you are and the changes you want to see in your own heart and character? God has only just begun renewing your life. How would you like that life to be renewed? Maybe you think you need to be a more loving person, and you'd love a sense of love that was abounding. Maybe for you it's an issue of wisdom. You're keen, you're hungry to be able to discern what is best. Maybe it's an issue of character, and there's a part of your life where you just feel, I want to be pure, I want to be blameless. Or maybe it's fruit, and there's a hunger in your life to be filled with righteousness. Paul finishes this section in Philippians 1 to 11, praying all of those things for the Philippians, that their love would abound, that they would be able to discern what is best, that they would be pure and blameless, that they would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. God has only just begun to renew your life, and God has only just begun to release your ministry. How do you want to make a difference? Is it by being a leader or discipling some people, or in prayer? Is it through teaching and explaining the scriptures? Is it through caring for those who are doing it tough? Is it opening your home as a host and demonstrating hospitality? How do you want to make a difference? The good news is that God has only just begun to make a difference through your ministry. God has only just begun. The one thing that reminds us and pulls all of these things together, that we are one, that we are partners, that we are all in this together, and that God has only just begun. The one thing that holds all those things together is the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We're going to have communion together now, and if I could invite the team, please, to come and distribute communion. There's one particular verse which, for me, captures all these things and sort of puts them all together in a nutshell around the death and resurrection of Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, Paul says this. He says, because there is one loaf that represents the death of Jesus for us. Because there's this one loaf, we, who are many, are one. Because we all share, we're all partners together in the one loaf. This morning, please both eat and drink at your own convenience. No need to hold the cup. Thank you.